come together this morning, I want us to face facts. You might say, well, haven't we always been doing that? You know, when somebody says, I'm going to tell you the truth, you wonder, well, they're always lying before? I don't mean it that way. I don't mean it that way. But this is a fact. The fact is, I need you, and you need me. The fact is, I need you, and you need me. The fact is, our Creator created us to need each other. We understand in our day that meaningful relationships are vital. They're vital to our mental health, our psychological health. They're vital, we understand, to our physical health. And they are certainly vital to our spiritual health. I want us to think a bit this morning about relationships and how they are so central to who we are. I think it fits a Mother's Day theme as we think of mothers and relationship of mothers with their children and children with their mothers. And as I was praying, I was also thinking about those who love us like a mother who may not be our biological mother, but love us in ways of encouragement and blessing and that kind of thing. We understand, I know I don't need to convince you of this, that relationships are vitally important to our overall understanding of ourselves. You know, from time to time, we kind of go looking for ourselves, don't we? You know, as life kind of pushes us along, and every once in a while, we have to stop and say, who am I? Who am I? What am I? We go looking for ourselves. I read this statement the other day. It's in the, I put it in the weekly, or the church email, and you received that this week. Someone had said that our truest self lies not in autonomy, but in relationship with God and with others. I realize that's a countercultural message, because the culture of our day, our secular day, says it's all about you and you alone. But I think we understand it a little differently. We understand that to truly know ourselves and be healthy, we must understand about our relationship with our Creator and understand our relationship with one another. Our relationship with each other. We need each other. And so it certainly is no accident that when we are saved, when we're born again by God's grace into God's family through His Holy Spirit, that we come into a spiritual family and God places us in a spiritual family called the church. Those relationships go to the heart of who we are as Christians. You may remember back in the fall that we looked at a number of scriptures in the New Testament epistles referred to as the one another scriptures of the Bible. And we saw that there are many, many scriptures, more than we could even preach about, that talk about how we have a responsibility in the church as brothers and sisters in Christ to each other. I want us to think a bit about that this morning, but I want us to think about it in relation to something I'm calling Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality. What am I talking about? Well, let's think for a moment about what hospitality is. In our day, sometimes hospitality has become kind of a cheapened idea, just the idea of entertaining. You're hospitable if you entertain people. But I think we probably know it has a more full meaning than that. The dictionary defines hospitality as the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, and generous way. That's a pretty good definition of hospitality. But what do I mean by specifically Christian hospitality? What's that about? You may know that in the New Testament, at least three times, we're going to look at the scriptures in a bit, the New Testament authors referred to something called hospitality. And three times, that word, the Greek word, the word they would have used in the original writings, literally means love of strangers. Love of strangers. That's the literal translation of the word that's used three times in the New Testament for hospitality. Love of strangers is the exact opposite of xenophobia, which is fear of strangers. We hear a lot about that these days, don't we? The exact opposite. Love of strangers. Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality. It could be said, and I love this thought, that the story of the Bible is the story of divine hospitality. I don't know if I'd ever thought of the Bible in that way before I began to prepare this sermon. The story of the Bible, the story of God's love and grace, mercy and redemption, is the story of divine hospitality. Paul says, or Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we were, before we got to know God through Christ, we were aliens and strangers to God. But the story of the Bible, the story of the gospel that we proclaim this morning, is a story that says, although we were aliens and strangers, God loves us. God redeems us. God welcomes us into the family, and God treats us generously. And because this is true, it is expected as a mark of the believer that we be hospitable. Someone has said that hospitality is a fundamental expression of the gospel. Think about that for a moment. Hospitality is the fundamental expression of the gospel. I'm going to unpack that in just a few moments. There are a number of scriptures, we'll look at a few. Some of them are printed in your bulletin this morning, that deal with this concept of hospitality. We didn't print 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. But if you're familiar with those scriptures, you may know that there in those two scriptures is a description of the qualifications of those who would be called to be spiritual elders or spiritual leaders of the church. The Apostle Paul, as you know, went out and planted churches throughout Asia Minor. And as those churches grew, he couldn't, of course, care for each of them. And so he encouraged each church to look for spiritually mature people among you who could be your leaders. He referred to them, or we refer to them, as elders. And in both of those places where you see the qualifications listed, there are a number of things there that you would expect. But in both cases, hospitality is one of those qualifications. Spiritual leaders ought to be people who practice Christian hospitality. Isn't that interesting? Spiritual leaders are people who are spiritually mature. Spiritual leaders are people who understand the gospel. And so what that suggests to me is, if we understand who God is, if we understand who our Savior is, if we understand what the gospel is, then we will be moved toward hospitality. We will be moved toward Christian hospitality. Let me read just two of the scriptures. I think they're printed there in your bulletin. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. I've edited it just a bit. But Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. Verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. And then the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality even to angels without knowing it. So it's very clear to me that if we're people of the gospel, if we're people of the gospel, then hospitality should be a part of our experience, a part of who we are as children of God. So let's think then a bit this morning about how we express hospitality. Indeed, it is vital that we talk about its expression, because a sermon on hospitality is not hospitality. Understanding the definition of hospitality is not hospitality. Memorizing the scriptures about hospitality is not hospitality. Hospitality, as you well know, is just another expression of love. And love and hospitality are all about the expression. They're not about the words. They're about how we live it out. I can't say that I'm hospitable if I understand the definition. It's only as I express it that I truly can say that I am practicing Christian hospitality. Well, what is it about then? It seems to me at the heart that hospitality, Christian hospitality or otherwise, is about being open to others. It's about being open to others. If we're closed, we're probably not going to be experiencing or practicing hospitality. It seems to me at the heart that hospitality is about being open to others. And so I want us to think a bit about that this morning in three ways. You'll see that, you'll see it in the bulletin there as well. You're going to see this popping up now for the next couple of months. Hospitality, I'm going to suggest, is about open hearts, open hands, and open homes. Open hearts, open hands, and open homes. What do I mean by open hearts? You are probably familiar this morning with the two greatest commandments. You probably know that scripture in Matthew 22, where the religious leaders tried to trip up Jesus by asking him, what's the greatest commandment? Hoping that if he elevated one over the other, they could accuse him of running down the law. But of course, Jesus obviously didn't fall for such a scheme. Matter of fact, he quieted them by answering them this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The greatest commandments. Love God and love others. Understand what he means here by greatest. Jesus is not saying this is the top commandment, but there's others underneath. That's the way we understand greatest. What he's saying is that loving God and loving others is the sum total of the law and the prophets. It is what the gospel, it is what the truth about God is all about. Loving him and loving others. You may know that John teaches us in 1 John 4 that we can't talk about loving God without loving others. John says if you love God and do not love others, you don't truly love God. Or he says it the other way. If you truly love God, you will love others. It just simply is an expression of God's love in you. So hospitality is ultimately, of course, about love. Opening our hearts to others in love is an expected response to Jesus' sacrificial love to us. John, in his first epistle in verse 3, or chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, put it this way. We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. What a great definition of Christian hospitality. An open heart of love that is proven not by our words, but by our actions toward others. Open hearts. Christian hospitality is also about open hands. Open hands. Now, what do I mean by open hands? I think of two things when I think of open hands. Open hands, first of all, to me suggest generosity. Generosity, sharing with others. I don't need to tell you that there are hundreds of scriptures in the Old and the New Testaments that exhort us to be generous to each other, both inside the group and outside of the group. You well know those scriptures. I thought, which one would I read? Which one would I refer to? There's so many. I decided just to share a few thoughts from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. Again, I've edited it just a bit. But there we read, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Again, we could read scripture after scripture after scripture, both in the Old and the New Testaments, talk about sharing with others. Our model, of course, is God, who is not tight-fisted toward us, but openly loves us, openly blesses us generously. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3 that God blesses us immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And because he is generous to us, our response is to be generous to others. As he loves us, so we love others. As he generously blesses us, so we generously bless others. I read this description this week of Christian generosity. I specifically say Christian generosity for a reason. I'll point out in just a moment. Someone has said that Christian generosity is loosening the grip of the distinction between what is mine and what is yours. Let me say that again. Christian generosity is loosening the grip between loosening the grip of the distinction between what is mine and what is yours. I say that is specifically Christian because I think that definition comes from the description of the very first Christians. We find it in Acts chapter 2. At the end of that chapter, Luke describes the attitude, the spirit that was among those very first believers. And among other things, he says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That line that is so hard and fast in our culture, among the early Christians, began to dissolve between what is mine and what is yours. Generosity. Being willing to share of the blessings we have received. Indeed, being convinced that we are blessed for the whole purpose of sharing. We are blessed for the purpose of sharing with others. So being open-handed is being generous. But I also think of open-handed as being inclusive. An open hand is a welcoming hand. An open hand is an accepting hand. Accepting hand. James, in his great little book, puts it this way. Believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism or partiality. He claims that a believer in the loving Heavenly Father will not discriminate. That's the actual word he uses there. Will not discriminate among people. And Paul puts it very clear and direct, as he always does, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Where he says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Open hands, being generous. Open hands, saying, I welcome you. I accept you. You can be with me, and I can be with you. Christian hospitality is open hearts, love. Christian hospitality is open hands, generosity, and inclusion. And thirdly, I would suggest that Christian hospitality is open homes. Opening homes to one another has been a mark and practice of the church since the very beginning. Going back again to Acts chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, where Luke is describing the attitude, the spirit, what is happening among the very first Christians. In verse 46, he says, every day they, the new Christians, continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They met in their homes. Why did the first Christians meet in homes? The first answer often when you ask that question is they say, well, the reason the first Christians met in homes is because they didn't have church buildings like we have. But that actually is not accurate. It is because they didn't have church buildings. But they certainly had places that they could meet outside of their homes. As a matter of fact, the scripture makes reference to it. It says that on Sunday mornings, they gathered in the temple courts, a place where the bigger group could gather. We know that when Paul traveled about as a missionary, he was often able to rent rooms where people could come in great crowds to meet. So although they had not yet, of course, built church buildings like we think of, they certainly could have met in larger groups and often did. So that suggests to me that meeting in homes was not out of necessity, it was a choice. Why would they choose to meet in homes? Well, I think we probably can guess right off, can't we? It is in the home, it is in the intimate and personal setting of the home that we truly open up to one another and we truly begin to build strong and lasting fellowship. Opening our homes is symbolic of opening our lives to others in real ways. Now, I know sometimes it's not practical to open our homes. We may live in a situation where we can't have people in. It may not be large enough. It may not be proper or appropriate in your setting. But the thought is certainly true for us all. The willingness to open our lives to others, to open up our hearts toward others. Now, that means being vulnerable. That means sometimes taking a risk. We may get hurt. We may be taken advantage of. But it also means that we believe that this is what God's will is for us as Christians. That we open our hearts. We open our hearts in friendship and service to others. It's very clear to me that Christian hospitality is an expected discipline of the faith. I use the word discipline intentionally. When we think of the disciplines of the faith, we think of things like prayer. Prayer is a Christian discipline. What that means, obviously, is that prayer is something that is vital to our experience in Christ. Can you imagine somebody who's a Christian who never prays? I can't imagine. Right? It's a part of what we are, who we are. We pray. Another Christian discipline is worship. Can you imagine a Christian who doesn't worship? Can't even imagine that, can you? It's a discipline. It's something that we do because it goes to the heart of who we are. Another Christian discipline is giving. It's very clear in the scriptures of giving our support and our time and effort and so on to the work of the Lord. But I would suggest that Christian hospitality is also a discipline. It goes to the heart of what it means to be a Christian. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul says two words, practice hospitality. Paul often writes rather directly, doesn't he? That word practice there means strive for, pursue, or seek to show hospitality. So when Paul was saying practice hospitality, he was saying seek it out. Be intentional about it. Just as you're intentional about your prayer life, just as you are intentional about your Bible study, just as you are intentional about worship, just as you are intentional about service, be intentional about hospitality. Opening your heart, opening your lives to others. I want to encourage you over the next couple of months, May and June, to intentionally look for opportunities to open your heart in love, to open your hands in generosity and acceptance, and if appropriate, to open your homes in friendship and to invite someone into your life. It goes to the heart of what it means to say that we're people of the gospel, that we're people who have been blessed by the divine hospitality, where God loved us and opened his hands and brought us into his family and blesses us generously. So we want to live that out. I know to some degree, I was telling someone this week, that I'm kind of preaching to the choir on this, because I see that happening in this fellowship in so many wonderful ways. It blesses my heart. But I just thought it'd be good to take a couple of months to just sort of be intentional about it and think about it. What I want to ask you to do is this. Think of a way that you can intentionally show at least one of those things, an open heart, an open hand, an open home, in May and June. I'm going to be away the next couple of weeks. You'll see there in the bulletin when I'm back in June. I'm going to ask for a time in the service where you can share just a brief testimony, either about how you practice that or how you receive. You're on the receiving end of that practice. I often personally hear about how you're on the receiving end. Often people will tell me about how someone in the church has blessed them. I want this to be an opportunity for you to tell the church how you've been blessed through Christian hospitality. Let's pray. Our Father, we do indeed thank you for the divine hospitality of God. That God opened his hands. He gave us Jesus, salvation, eternal life, and eternal family. And Father, we want to live that out in our lives. Help us to see how we can do it. Help us, Lord, to practice Christian hospitality. In Jesus' name, amen.